The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep, personal relationship with you. If you don't believe there's a creator, he has said regarding you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? You might like to think about that for a moment. If you don't believe, you're not going to end up in a nice place when you die. You're going to end up as an ancestor spirit or demon, maybe buried along with your corpse or hitching a ride on your one of your children or hitching a ride on a messenger or angel, if you're privileged. You don't want to be there. Strongly recommend that you turn around today and recognize the reality of the Creator. If you are a believer and believed at some level once upon a time, but it just carried on your life as though the Almighty is not real, the Almighty has said concerning you, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So again, if you believed at some level and you're pottering along and you think something nice is going to happen when you die, think again. You're likely to end up in the outer darkness, very, very dark, very, very cold, very, very unpleasant, the trash heap of heaven. If you want to end up somewhere nice when you die, you need to have a relationship with Father in this life. We're carrying on with the final episode now of The Global Flood That Changed the World, Part 9. We're going to look at some important spiritual principles that I think are worth sharing. And all of this is taking place in the context that the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. So, overview of tonight's program. This episode presents some closing spiritual and religious considerations relating to the overall topic of relationship with the Creator. We note that God is a pagan name and should be avoided. We note that Christ is not a valid name. We note that various word errors, other word errors are discussed. The confusion relating to marriage is mentioned. It is noted that a covenant includes a death penalty for breach. Judgment in this life is discussed. The spiritual journey of mankind on earth over 7,000 years is discussed, and the continuum between the mountain of the Almighty and the pit of Satan is outlined. It is stressed that Yah, the true name of the Almighty Creator, is one, and we should have no other mighty ones. The 10 laws or 10 words are listed. We discuss how Yeshua, you might know him as Jesus, achieved what he did. Talk about the beast, the mark of the beast, and the pit. Look at other Sabbaths that should be observed. And we offer some comments with regard to Islam. And then look at the difficult implications of Isaiah 4:1 regarding multiple wives. By way of introduction, my name is James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, 25 years experience as a strategic management consultant in South Africa, and now a business executive in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. End Time Issue Ministries is the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, my articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. See the Proof of Global Flood item on the main menu at the bottom of the main menu for the presentations on which this broadcast is based. You might find it useful to follow in the PowerPoint slides as I give this talk. Questions from last week's program. Number one, Bill said, I thought we're here to have babies and spread his word. Bill, as I've said throughout this series, we're here to have a deep relationship with him. He wants to grow with us, learn with us. By all means, have babies if you're going to dedicate those babies to him and bring them up in relationship with him. But the main thing is to have a relationship with him. Remember that at the time of Adam, everybody knew about the Almighty. So we weren't foremost brought about in order to spread his word. Jan asks, why was he, I guess that's Noah, the only one to hear God? Jan, that's just the way it is. Right now there are very few people who are hearing the Almighty clearly. So people don't make the effort to hear him, so they don't hear him. Question three, Jan also asks, why don't you think we're getting better? Well, once you understand that Adam was about 18 feet, 3 meters tall and massive intellect, and you look at the sophistication of the engineering, for example, in the Great Pyramid in Egypt, you realize that we've degenerated intellectually, we've degenerated physically, and by extension, I suggest for your consideration, we have degenerated spiritually. Kevin asks, the devil is more around than ever. Yes, that's true. Every human being who dies as an unbeliever becomes one more demon. There's over 100 billion demons on the planet today. Lynn asks, if you don't believe in God, you believe in nothing. Well, I think that's a statement. I think you can believe in other things. People believe in nature and goodness knows what all. I would agree with you if you say that there's no point in believing in anything else, certainly. Penny asks, why do we have to identify as one religion? Why can't we just believe in God? Absolutely, totally agree with you. All religions are a corruption. So rather seek a deep personal relationship with Father and don't identify with any religion. Penny also asks, so we should stop calling him God and Lord? Absolutely, Penny. His true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Generally call him Yah. And or Father or Almighty, but God and Lord are abominable names. Grace asks, out of all the years I've been going to church, I've never heard him being called that. I assume that's Yah, the eternal self-existing. Grace, that's certainly the case. The truths of his names have been hidden for years. The forces of darkness have been seeking to conceal it. It's only recently that an awareness of the true name has developed again. Beth asks, how do you know calling him that will make him the happiest? Beth, because he's told me. I've seen him in tears over people misusing his name and people using his name correctly. It means a huge amount to him, in the same way that you wouldn't be happy if I called you Jane or Pete or John or Anne or whatever when your name is Beth. So we're moving on, resuming chapter 12, some spiritual and religious considerations. God is a pagan name and therefore blasphemous. The word translated God or God, lowercase, means mighty one or almighty when applied to the creator, or mighty one, lowercase, when applied to anyone else. A ruler or judge is a mighty one and can therefore technically be referred to as a god. But in actual fact, the word God should not be used at all, except perhaps for Satan in the sense of God or Mighty One of this world. Yeshua, or Jesus as you might know him, is a Mighty One, and therefore can technically be called a God. But it is disrespectful to do so. This duality of meaning gives rise to confusion. Christ is not a name. The word Christ derives from the Greek Christos. It is used as a substitute for a technical term which refers to the impartation of the Spirit of the Almighty in a form of smearing that is called anointing. Thus, Jesus Christ means Yehoshua, the anointed of Yah. Christ Jesus means the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ means anointed one or the anointed of Yah. Christ is not Yahushua's name. And Yahushua's name is not Jesus, it's Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. Any believer filled with the Spirit of Yah is an anointed one, that is, a Christ. It is confusing and disrespectful to call Yahushua Christ, rather refer to him by his correct name, Yahushua the anointed of Yah, or simply Yahushua. Folks, this is so important. This word Christ is so meaningless. It's given rise to so much confusion. The belief that the word Christ is actually an alternate name for Yahushua or Jesus muddies the water, leads to people thinking that Yahushua, Jesus, is the Almighty when he's not. Christ, or anointed, or anointing, or anointed one, refers to the Spirit of the Almighty on a human being. So Christ, if you must use it, relates to the Almighty Creator. Some more word errors. Yeshua was executed on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not a cross. The cross is a pagan symbol that has pornographic symbolism and should be avoided. The word holy actually means set apart and relates to separation from the things of the world. This word is better represented by the Hebrew Kodesh. Bible is derived from the Greek Biblios, which means book, as in the Afrikaans Bibliotheek, meaning library. The book does not claim a title for itself. It is merely a compendium of writings, and different compendia appropriate the title Bible. The word should be avoided. All versions of the book of the Bible contain error, and none claim to be without error or fully inspired. There are texts in the book which are inspired by Yah and recorded with varying levels of accuracy. Yah says that 2.5% of the Bible is inspired, the rest not. All that can be said of this book is that it is an important reference work. Baptize is another confusing term which should be correctly translated immerse. It refers to full immersion in water and is a routine procedure for cleansing that is laid down repeatedly in Leviticus. It is not mechanically possible to immerse a person with a thumb dipped in a cup of water, and therefore the debate about what constitutes baptism is eliminated. Immersion is the prescribed ordinance. We should immerse regularly whenever we have repented of significant sin or have been contaminated spiritually in some way. Angel is a representation of a word that means messenger. It is more helpful to refer to them as messengers because that's what they are. A lot of confusion about angels. So a lot of confusion around marriage. The act that we generally refer to as marriage is in fact sexual intercourse with a virgin, widow, or truly divorced female. In Yah's terms, the joining of a man and female in some ceremony is invalid and is adultery unless the woman satisfies one of the above conditions. In other words, she's a virgin, a widow, or truly divorced. In such cases, it is something that humans do because they want to and not because Yah has prescribed it. Modern legal marriage has pagan, that is, satanic roots in order to pseudo-legitimize adultery. Folks, this is a really important principle. Originally, going back 6,000 plus years, Marriage was the act of consummation, sexual intercourse, no more, no less. Adam and Eve didn't run off looking for a priest or a pastor or a rabbi or a whatever, justice of the peace to marry them. They consummated their relationship before Yah. They became one spiritually. So important. Sex is a really, really special gift, not to be taken lightly, not to be taken casually, not to be thrown around. In the same way that dating and courtship and all of these things are not valid. Clearly define what you're looking for in a life partner. Negotiate with a suitable candidate. Establish the truth. Agree. Consummate. Live together for the rest of your lives. That's the way it's meant to be. Covenant includes a death penalty. Father Yah has made innumerable covenants with human beings, of which a few notable ones include covenants with Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Yeshua, etc., and with many others. He still makes covenants today. Failure to observe a covenant leads to death. It may result in premature death in this life, failing which it may lead to rejection in the life to come in the event of repeated unrepented breaches. Thus, while much is made of the covenant through Yeshua, it should be seen in context, and it must be understood that willfully and repeatedly breaking that covenant will lead to destruction in eternal hellfire. See the English Bible, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, the Protestant Bible. Folks, so many people run around casually living life because they think that Jesus has died and all their sins are forgiven as they commit them. No, not true. Once you have come to believe through the covenant of Yeshua, at that instant all your sins are forgiven you. Thereafter, every sin you commit is counted against you unless you go before Father, confess your sin, repent, turn around, and ask for forgiveness. So important. If you want to get to the end of your life with a clean slate, you've got to deal with every sin as it happens. Yeshua did not die a terrible death so that you could just blunder through life sinning as you like. I want to talk a bit about judgment in this life. There is judgment in this life. We may request judgment in this life in order that we're not judged in the life to come. We may be judged in any event. Any illness, accident, loss of any sort is frequently a judgment. Judgment requires the prosecutor, Satan, or one of his messengers to bring charges before the court of heaven. Yeshua, as our advocate, may plead for mitigation of sentence, mercy, etc., as may be applicable for young believers. I stress young believers. Father Yah, as the judge, hands down the sentence. Satan and his messengers and demons execute or carry out the sentence, for example, by causing an accident. Read the first few chapters of the book of Job in the Bible for an indication of how this happens. Judgment in this life is to be sought and desired. It trains us. It allows us to learn. It is grace that helps us to learn and avoid damnation in the life to come. And if we desire, it helps us to aspire to a high throne for eternity. It allows us to pay the price for our unconfessed sin in this life, and therefore helps us to avoid a part in the lake of fire. Pray. Father, I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. I recommend that as a regular prayer. Folks, if you really want to serve Father, you need to clean up your act and get free of sin. Praying this prayer is a key element of getting to a point where your life is free of sin. Let's look at the spiritual journey of man on earth over 7,000 years. At the start, 6,000 plus years ago, human beings only knew good, or they only knew the ways of Yah. As a consequence of disobedience and rebellion, they started to learn all there is to learn about evil. This generation, over 6,000 years from the creation of mankind, is the most evil generation that has ever lived, and it's the culmination of a series of cycles where mankind degenerated to almost oblivion at the time of Noah, again at the time of Abraham, again at the time of Moses, again at the time of Yeshua, again at the time of Muhammad, again at the time of Martin Luther, where almost no one was in any meaningful way serving the Almighty. And there's been a resurgence, a renaissance after each of those events, and then degradation again. Yeshua came and died that we might have regain authority on earth. We're called to restore relationship with Yah on earth in order that Yeshua may return. Evil is the opposite of service to Yah. So we live in a society which by man's standards is good, but by Yah's standards is terribly evil. At present, Yahushua, having been resurrected because he lived a life without sin, is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Bible, Matthew 22:44, Mark 12:36, Luke 20:43, Acts 2:35, Hebrews 1:13, and Hebrews 10:13. So a lot of verses that speak to Yeshua waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So we need to pay attention to that. Satan was cast into the pit for 1,000 years in 2003. 2,000 years ago, Yahushua, having regained authority on earth from Satan by living a sinless life, immediately handed that authority to those that followed him and went to sit at the right hand of Father Yah to await the time when his followers would regain authority on earth and prepare a place for his return. That is not happening because believers do not understand that it is their role to prepare for Yeshua. They mostly believe that Jesus is coming soon and are sitting back waiting for Yeshua to sort out the mess. Yeshua, in turn, as we saw above, is waiting for us to sort out the mess. We have less than 1,000 years in which to do this. If we truly understood the significance of Yeshua's return, being the onset of judgment, we would not be asking for his soon return. Let's look at the continuum between the mountain of Yah and the pit. This life and the life to come are more complex than most understand. There is a continuum between entirely and completely good, which has only been achieved by Yeshua and Father Yah, and entirely and completely bad, which has only been achieved by Satan. The climb to all good is metaphorically referred to as the mountain of Yah. This is difficult, as represented by the mountain in the photo in the PowerPoint on the website. If the believers are successful in preparing a place for Yeshua to return, then Yeshua will return to receive his kingdom, and Satan, his messengers or angels, and all those who have not qualified to enter heaven will be cast into the lake of fire and utterly destroyed. If they do not succeed, then Yeshua will never return, and Satan will take control of the earth forever. However, Father will withdraw his spirit, so all life on earth will cease, and Satan's victory will be pyrrhic. Most people are lukewarm. They're on the gently sloping ground in the middle between serving Yah and serving Satan. Most are oblivious to the battle that is raging all around them in the spiritual realm, and are oblivious to the fact that in the absence of concerted action to climb the mountain of Yah, they will eventually slide further and further towards Satan. The bulk of good Christians and good Muslims and good Jews are effectively serving Satan because of all the wrong things they believe and do, even when those things seem good. Climbing the mountain requires constant, focused effort. So if you are not consciously seeking to climb the mountain closer to Yah, you are almost certainly sliding away. Important law, Yah is one. Important principle, Yah is one. Have no other mighty ones. Yeshua is reported in Mark 12:29-30 as saying, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yah, the eternally self-existing, our mighty one. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one. And you shall love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 3, it is written that Yah said on the mountain, "You shall have no other mighty ones before me." It is therefore clear that it is sin to equate Yeshua to Yah, or to worship Yahshua, or in any way conjoin Yeshua to Yah in the way that is customarily done. Folks, people do all sorts of verbal gymnastics to apply this to Yeshua as being one with the Almighty. We're all, if we are believers and we are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, even at the most limited level, we are one with Yah, just as Yeshua is one with Yah. That does not mean that we are Yah. It does not mean that Yeshua is Yah. Let's look at the 10 laws in Hebrew, the 10 words. The 10 commandments, that is the 10 laws, or in Hebrew, 10 words, which are the sole contents of the container or Ark of the Covenant, are the essence of the covenant made by the Almighty at Sinai. Since Yah appeared in fire on top of the mountain and spoke with an audible voice to several million people, we must assume that these are the most important words ever spoken to human beings, since this is the only time he has appeared so concretely that we know of. The 10 laws form the basis of judgment. They are also the sword of the Spirit that is referred to in some places. When reference is made to the word of Yah, that reference is to these commandments. Folks, this is so important. Most people regard the Bible as, quote, the word of God. Not so. The Bible contains the 10 commandments. Those 10 commandments are the words spoken by Yah. If you refer to the word of Yah or the word of God, you are actually referring to the 10 commandments. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you talk of the sword of the Spirit, that's the commandments, dividing between truth and error. Talk about the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing between truth and error. That's referring to the 10 commandments, folks, the 10 words, not all the other stuff. This legalistic thing of some huge collection of laws. There are 10 basic laws. We need to live by them. And the fact of the matter is, pretty much the whole world is violating pretty much all of the commandments. The 10 laws can be summarized as: 1. Yah is one. Have no other mighty ones before him. This includes, do not worship Yahushua, brackets, Jesus. 2. No graven images or idols. Includes, do not worship the Bible. The Bible is not the word of God. 3. Do not use the name of Yah in vain. Includes not using God, the Lord, Jesus, etc. A Yahoo.com email address breaks this commandment. 4. Observe the true Sabbath, Saturday, and the feasts and fasts. 5. Honor your mother and father. 6. Do not commit murder, includes do not oppose the death penalty, do not curse, no abortion, no contraception that causes abortion. 7. Do not commit adultery based on virginity and widowhood, as set out previously. No homosexual congress. 8. Do not steal, including taking tithes and offerings, while teaching error. Big one there, folks. The vast majority of churches and other assemblies are in serious error, taking money from their congregants when they're not teaching all truth. 9. Do not bear false witness, includes lying and false doctrine. 10. Do not covet, includes lust. Just a point there. If people really understood the covenant about the commandment about not lying, churches, etc., would be very, very different. The vast majority of what's taught in churches, in mosques, in synagogues, in yoga schools, in Hindu temples, in whatever, is complete and utter falsehood. Those people will be judged severely when they come to judgment. Let's look at how Yeshua became king and achieve what he achieved. Yeshua was 100% a human being. He was born with a creative miracle less dramatic than Adam and Eve. He would have not have been able to operate on earth if he was not 100% human. He had no human father, therefore there were no bloodline curses. He was the first creative spirit, so he lived with Yah before coming to earth, so he knew Yah well and Yah's ways and Satan's ways, so he was well equipped. He lived a life without sin, gained victory, and regained authority over the heavens and the earth. He became king because humans proclaimed him king. He became Lord, or Adonai, because humans proclaimed him Lord. He became the Lamb of Yah because Yahuchanan, the Immerser, John the Baptist, proclaimed him the Lamb. So that through that assignment, he gained the right to take the place of the animal offerings for sin and thus provide a simpler way to forgiveness. Assigned the body and blood of the Lamb to the bread and wine at the last meal with those who followed him most closely, thereby assigning the body and blood of the Lamb to bread and wine so that all believers everywhere had access to the mechanical ingredients necessary for forgiveness of sin by faith. Folks, so important. No magic, no supernatural, simply compliance with strict contractual terms and careful choice of words. Continuing, he became high priest because the high priest laid hands on him in mockery and proclaimed him Messiah, and the blood of the offering fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He became the offering for atonement because his blood fell on the mercy seat, and also the people laid hands on him, transferring their sin, and sent him outside the gate and took his blood on themselves. There really is nothing magical about what Yeshua achieved, not even anything particularly supernatural. He lived a life without sin. That is the most noteworthy achievement, and he died without sinning, and as a consequence, death had no hold on him, and he was automatically resurrected. Death in this life is the price we pay for sin. If we live without sin, we are entitled to be resurrected. Thus far, only Yahushua has accomplished this, and so the position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords is filled for eternity. But through Yahushua's life and death, we have access to an easier route to repentance and eternal life. Folks, if you sin, recognize it, confess it, repent, go before Father and say, in the name of Yeshua, I confess that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me. Take the bread and wine, pray over that. Father, I remember the covenant of Yeshua as he took the cup. This is my blood shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it. Father, I participate in this. I ask you to forgive me. That's it. Clean up your life. So easy. Why would you not want to do that? Why would you want to continue in sin? Let's look at the beast, the mark, and the pit. The beast in the Bible, and particularly in the book of Revelation, is simply another name for Satan. The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark in the forehead, what we think, and in the hand, what we write and contract, that breaks one or more of the Ten Commandments. If you are breaking any of the commandments, you have the mark of the beast. The pit is a prison into which offending spirits are sent until their period or sentence has been served. Satan is serving 1,000 years in the pit at the moment. Folks, there's so much wrong thinking about the mark of the beast. People are taking it literally. The forces of darkness are having a field day making fools of believers who are saying that they don't want the microchip in their forehead, they don't want the microchip in their wrist. It's the mark of the beast. It's got all sorts of strange and crazy ideas associated with it. Folks, the microchip is no different to the microchip in your credit card. It's simply a data store that allows you to be identified. So what if they put a microchip in your hand or your forehead? You might prefer not to for other reasons, but don't do it because it's the mark of the beast. That's just plain silly. It's really important to be aware that there really is a being called Satan. That he really has been trying for 6,000 years to lead mankind astray, and he has been inordinately successful. It's up to us, you and me, to turn that around. Let's look at the other Sabbaths. We're told to keep the Sabbath. In addition to the Saturday Sabbath, and it's Saturday, please, not Sunday, we are required to observe Passover or Pesach, which is in around March, April, Pentecost, Shavuot, which is 50 days later, the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, which is about September, the Day of Atonement is a set-apart sacred fast day, we drink only water, Yom Kippur, which is a week later, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, day one, which is a week after that, September, October, and the last or great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, day 8. All of those are solemn Sabbaths. You should not do any business, any commercial work, anything that can be done on another day of the week should not be done on one of these Sabbaths. Please check. There's a website, I forget what it's called at the moment, Kodesh Books, kodesh.co.za, I seem to remember, which has the calendar on it. If you look at the Jewish calendar, it's more or less accurate. Get these dates, put them in your diary, apply for leave at work, and observe them strictly. So important if you want to have a good relationship with Father. It's an insult to him not to observe his high Sabbaths. Some other important points. Islam. Muhammad was also a turnaround prophet of the Most High, and the Muslims are people of Yah. Allah is the Arabic word that corresponds to Elohim, the Hebrew word for the Almighty. Muhammad correctly rebuked the Christians for worshipping Yeshua and for worshipping the book or the Bible. Islam means the worship and service of the Almighty. Muslim means one who worships and serves the Almighty. That said, most Muslims have gross error, just like most Christians have gross error, which is why they're constantly fighting with each other. Muslims are subject to different covenant terms to those applicable to the children of Israel, basically the Christians and the Jews, and therefore they have to be grafted into the covenant through Yeshua. But this will only happen when the truth about Yeshua is preached and taught. Folks, one of the horrible things about the world we live in is that the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims are all at some sketchy level trying to serve the Almighty. They are all full of error because the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, have gotten them full of error. And they're fighting with each other. What's going on at the moment with Iran and Iraq and Israel is the people of Yah fighting amongst themselves. There are Muslims who are close to Father, and there are Muslims who are a long, long way from Father. There are Christians who are close to Father, and Christians who are a long, long way from him. And so the Jews, and so the other different religions that have at some level relationship with the Almighty. So important. There are other sheepfolds. Yeshua indicated that he had other sheepfolds to visit. I'm aware of one in Central America. There's every reason to believe that there are sheepfolds all over the earth, and that there are other religious groupings that have roots in knowledge of Yah and Yeshua. There's also reason to believe that virtually all human beings today are children of Abraham. The 10 original nations of Western Europe are descended from the 10 tribes of Israel that went into exile. Folks, Yah has interacted with human beings all over the planet at different times throughout history. Those people have created religions, they've followed human beings, they've got into error, so you can hardly recognize them. But there's a book available called Eternity in Their Hearts, which traces just a few people groups around the world who have some rudimentary element of memory of the Almighty Creator and are looking for a Redeemer. Do not just discount anyone because they don't belong to your religion. Every religion is in massive error. If you really want to be close to Father, get out of whatever religion you're in and serve Father alone. And please do not put some comfortable label on yourself. Stick to believer in Yah. Anything else from beyond that is nonsense, frankly. So in coming to close, a difficult truth, Isaiah 4:1 speaks about many wives. The taking and giving of virginity results in a covenant. Likewise, sex with a widow or truly divorced female. Female can only give her virginity once. Therefore, sexual intercourse is one of the most sacred or set-apart acts possible between two human beings. It is possible for a man to take the virginity or widowhood of more than one woman, and it is therefore possible for a man to be in a lifetime sexual covenant, if you like, marriage, with more than one woman. The problem is that modern women cannot share their man, and most become highly aggressive if confronted with such a situation. Isaiah 4:1 indicates that there will be 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers at the end, and this is evident today. This means that most believing women should remain single. Folks, you can go around the world, as I've done it to some extent, and go into religious assemblies. And what you'll find is that where there is a gentle spirit and people are relatively close to Father, there will be many times more women than men. Where there's a harsh religious spirit, you will find that the number of men and women is round about equal. You can get all upset with me about this point, but the fact of the matter is that there are probably, or not probably, that there are roughly 7 times as many women as men in heaven. Folks, if you're a man, you've got a problem. You really need to work hard at getting close to Father. So, closing prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. I ask you to give me a hunger for truth and help me to seek to avoid error. I ask you by your Spirit to reveal all error in my life and show me how to deal with it. I ask you to help me hold on to the truth, no matter how hard it may be. I ask you to help me to overcome to the end, no matter how hard that may be. I ask you to help me to build a deep personal relationship with you. Amen. Folks, there's much, much more you can pray. A few months ago, I did a series on prayer. I commend that to you. It's on the website and the radio page if you go and scout around there. There's a prayer page or series of prayer pages on the main website. Dozens of prayers that give Father power and permission to operate in your life. Folks, if you're not praying appropriate prayers, you're going to battle to grow in your relationship with Father. You have to give him permission to act in your life. So, Father, I ask you to help me to draw closer to you. I ask you to help me to hear your voice and be instantly obedient. I ask you to lead me by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. I ask you to help me to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit and obedient to the leading of your Spirit. I ask you to help me to bring you joy every day. I ask you to... Oh, there's so much you can pray, folks. So much you can pray and so much you should pray. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory in relationship with you, in knowledge of you and your ways and your will and your kingdom, in the anointing of your Spirit, in humility, in emunah, faith, trust, and belief, in harmony, in health, and in finances. I thank you that your messengers encamp around me to protect me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that every tongue that rises against me in unrighteous judgment shall be refuted. So much to pray, so important that you pray it regularly. In wrapping up, there are five key documents on the main menu. Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, probably the most important document of the lot. Things that you can do immediately to start drawing close to Father. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? Very important. Broadcast this a few months ago. You can find it on the radio page. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, I can't stress enough. This is about you and your relationship with Father. It's not about your pastor or your priest or your imam or your rabbi or your guru or your whatever. It's about you and Father. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're well educated or not educated at all. It doesn't matter if you're short or tall. It doesn't matter if you're blonde or black. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what tribe you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. This is about you and Father. He wants you to have a deep personal relationship with him, you, the person you look at in the mirror every morning. Doesn't matter anything that anybody's ever told you. about the chosen people or whatever. You can choose now to seek to become his friend, and he will meet you where you are today. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just